welcome everybody. We are back with our fourth and our last World Cup panel talk. As usual, we have four amazing guests invited to the show. To the bottom, you will see Sander Baert, former Dutch international and, to my eyes, obviously the best hockey player that ever lived in the world. But I'm not biased. Next to him, second one there, is Toby Walter, former German goalie, rooting obviously for a 3-2 win. That's what I heard during the pre-2 show from Germany. And the one next to him is Tom Abriels, still for just a couple of hours more, reigning world champion, captain of the Red Lions in 2018. So, sorry, Thomas, you will lose your world title in just a couple of hours now. And next to him, Mickey Delas, former captain from Spain. So we have some amazing hockey players here, and we're going to have a lot of fun talking hockey. The idea is we're going to talk a little bit about the semifinals, obviously. And then we're going to talk about the bronze medal game and the gold medal game, obviously, that will start in just a couple of hours. We'll discuss the player to watch. And finally, we will ask all of you who will be the champion and why. So, but let's start by talking about the previous games, the semifinals. Again, some amazing hockey. Toby, what were your thoughts? What was for you a remarkable fact from those semifinals?
I think the most memorable moment of these semifinals was the comeback of Germany. That was really impressive. Being 2-0 down, 2-1 down, 3-2 down with the final minutes, there was an impressive comeback, which they repeated from the quarterfinals against England. And Gonzalo Piatt, who was criticized over the whole tournament of not playing well and not scoring corners, scored three times and placed the assist for the winning goal. That was the highlight for me for the semifinals.
Mm-hmm. Thomas, what were your thoughts about the semifinals?
Yeah, it was a crazy game. I mean, people that didn't watch that game need to rewatch it. Really, really nice. Pretty crazy what Germany did, especially against Australia. Really tough team to beat. Always defend really hard. If you score four goals and then the way they did it. They look pretty strong. I thought before the tournament, when I saw them, they didn't look good. In the Pro League, I thought they played some really bad games. But here, this tournament, even in the match against Belgium in the pool game, they looked really, really good. And what they did in the semifinal needs to give them a lot of confidence, I think, for the final. So if you could come back against Australia in that way, you can do it against any team, I think. So it's gonna be a close one, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mickey, for you as well, what was the remarkable fact from the semifinals?
Yeah, for me, I think that I have a different point of view than the rest because, unfortunately, Spain, although I think Spain did a really good tournament, and I think that there's a really good future for Spain in the following tournaments. But I'm the only one that just watched it as a spectator. No, I didn't have my country playing there, so I just had fun, and I completely agree with Toby that the mentality of the German team, and especially the Piatt appearance, I think it was one of the best from the outside. You know the mentality from Germany, and you know watching the game that things are gonna happen, and for me, I think it's a really good thing to see, not only hockey, also mentality and the following the game plan. Doesn't matter the minute or the situation. So that was nice.
Mm-hmm. Sander, what were your thoughts about the semifinals? And at least, do you have some memorable moments from the other semifinal as well with the Dutch play?
Yeah, of course. It was two very nice games to watch. Really exciting. Just come back on that first game from Germany against Australia. Yeah, what an exciting game. Incredible that Germany did win, like they did against England, come back in the last minutes to win it. Against Netherlands, yeah, also a really nice game. I think Netherlands played a really good first half, creating a lot of chances, playing attacking hockey. Was nice to see. And then second half, the experience of the Belgium team rise, and they were better than Holland in the second half. And then back to shootouts. For me, of course, a bit of a deja vu from the last World Cup to see and to watch it. It was a bit painful, but yeah, that's also part of the game, shootouts. And unfortunately for the Netherlands, that they lost it again. But yeah, credits to Belgium. They did it again. Vincent Van Nesch taking three shootouts. Incredible. So I think, yeah, it was two really nice games to watch.
Thomas, in one of our previous shows, Mark Knowles told us that the team who's going to be the world champion will need to have the best goalie of the tournament. Is Vincent Van Nesch again rising to the top, and will he be that goalie? Or do you think that the German Stadler might surprise us as well?
I think Stadler is a really good goalie, and I think Germany, he's becoming really good in a pretty fast, in pretty short time period. He's really getting really, really good, I think. But if you see Vinny at the important moments, he's mentally so strong, and he always delivers for the team, even if it's at club level or international level in the important moments. Yeah. The guy is so confident, and it radiates as well to the team. So the team is really confident if the shootout starts, because they know they have Vinny. And even if there's a shot in the D or there's almost a made goal, you always know you still have Vinny that can make an incredible save. So I think every big national title or title with Belgium that I won is because of Vinny. So I think he will do it once more, just because he's one, really, really good, and two, is mentally really, really, really strong. He's I never saw a guy so so strong mentally, so and confident. So I think he will rise again to the challenge.
Toby, as a goalie, what are your thoughts on Stadler, and will he be better than Van Nesch in the final?
Stadler is a very good goalkeeper, still very young. He's improving, as Thomas said, really well in a short amount of time. I was a bit surprised by the shootouts of Van Nesch, because it seemed to me that he did different things than he normally did, maybe as a moment of surprise. I found he took the shootouts as a keeper in a different way than he used to, a bit more offensive, a bit more aggressive than normally. I don't think it's going to come to shootouts, to be honest. Stadler, he played a good tournament so far. He played very well against Australia. Now it's the time to show how good you really are. But to talk about the best goalkeeper of the tournament, it's really tough to say, because if you look at the English guy, Oli Payne, conceded two goals in the whole tournament, and he was challenged a lot. Like, he had, I think, with two or three other countries, the most shots on goal, and he didn't concede until the quarterfinal. Of course, it's a pity when you concede your only two goals of a tournament in the quarterfinal and get kicked out. But he was really impressive this tournament, and he also played really well at the Olympics, at the European before, where he made his first appearance on a big tournament. And also Black. I mean, the Netherlands, they didn't have a lot of shots on goal against, but what came, he stopped most of it. And it's really tough to say who's the best keeper on this World Cup.
Mickey, What needs to be done with Spain for them to make that next move?
Well, Spain had one of the youngest team in the whole tournament. The old guys that we were playing there for a really long time, we moved. And I think that it's really, really nice to see a new team mentality with, of course, Max Caldas, who is doing a really good job with a lot of new players, with a fresh mentality. And it's nice to see that guys that they just had arrived, and only three players from the actually squad that is playing now the World Cup, they were the last big tournament. And it's impressive, no? How the youngers are doing. And of course, if you compare with the experience that other teams have, it's really different. But especially the game against Australia was super nice to see. And these combinations, these new guys that they are playing without pressure, without any complex, and I feel that there's a really nice future, light future for Spain. And if you compare to other teams that probably they had a close squad for last past years, I think that for Spain, if we try to switch and we adjust a couple of things, I think that things can happen, no? And this is good, and I think also that Max has a lot of things to bring to Spain, and hopefully in the following tournaments, of course, learning and training hard. But I think that Spain will be back soon on the medals.
Okay, cool. What do you need extra in Spain to make that next step, you think? Is it just experience?
A combination of everything, of course. Our domestic league is not the same as other countries like Holland, Belgium, or even Germany. But I think that with a bit more of time that players get used with more experience, I think that, it's what is the extra thing that Spain needs now.
So, and how does it work now with the national team? Do they... You train during the year as well together, or it's just like short period of times before tournaments, or it's different camps, or because that's always been the big advantage of such a small country and playing together week in, week out. I think that made a big difference in the past years. I don't know how you do it with Spain. It's a big bigger.
Yeah, this is the main problem of Spain, no? That we have two different sections in Catalonia and in Madrid. And sometimes it's really difficult to train together. What they are doing is they have two different camps in Madrid and in Barcelona, and they are training hard 2-3 times per week, especially for the preparation of this World Cup. And Max is going up and down, and it's working. And also the training mentality, what I heard, because obviously I haven't been there, but has changed a lot, and they are really focused in physical preparation. And this is the biggest gap in Spain, because we are not professional, 100% professional. That means that a lot of people has to work or study, and you cannot travel up and down. So with this combination, with two squads, it's what we were doing before, but now they are doing more often.
Mm-hmm. Toby, also the German preparation. You also have a big country, and have the tradition of just coming together in a really short period before the big tournaments. Even has that changed, or how does that impact the performance for Germany?
No, it's still like this. Throughout the year, there are several camps, and they meet up each other, and it's every year beginning of the year normally. It's 2 week in South Africa or wherever where it's warmer than in Europe, and then throughout the year you have like 5 day camps, but you never train together every week. It's impossible because the ways are way too far, and there probably would be a possibility for that, but you need financial resources to travel through a every player has to be able to do that. As you said, as Mickey said, all the guys are studying or working. That makes it a bit more difficult. And in Germany, the universities are not as flexible maybe as in other countries where they say, okay, you're a top sporter. you can miss a certain amount of your lessons and then go to train with the national team. They're not that understandable as they are in other countries, maybe.
Sander, what needs to do? What need the Netherlands to need to do to make that next step again? They are again in semifinal. We're in semifinals. They're again playing for a medal, so that's good with a very young team. But what's the next step for them?
Well, the next step, I think they have to continue what they're busy with. I think they're playing really good hockey with a lot of new young guys. I think if they are getting a bit more experience how to play in the right during a game, they will reach finals again and win trophies. But it's a young squad with not a lot of experience. I think the experience that they're getting, yeah, it's going to be great. The Olympics in Paris. But yeah, really exciting to see them play in a new way again. Man on man defense playing again. It's nice to see. I like that. Something different again. And I think they just have to continue. Like Belgium, they're in luck. That's a small country, and they can train a lot together. They're in the beginning of the week, they're together on Monday and Wednesday. And that, of course, makes a huge difference with the other country.
Thomas, you play in Holland still. What are your thoughts about the new Dutch team? Have they impressed you? Have they surprised you?
Yeah, I think it's really, really nice to see. I think you really see a team that is playing more as a team and guys being happy for each other and working really hard in offense and defense. I think, they're really, I think, creating a bond and new young guys with a lot of energy wanting to prove themselves every time they step on the pitch. So I think it's really nice. Also, the first half of against Belgium, I think Belgium started really easy, maybe a bit too easy, a bit too relaxed or nonchalant. And Holland started really, really aggressive, and they had some really nice combinations getting into the circle together, finding nice connections. They could have been up more, I think, in the first half. So that's I think really for them would be really nice to see and give them a lot of confidence moving forward and really thinking they're going into the right direction. And then the second half you just saw the experience of Belgium never really panicking. Probably Michel was not that happy in the halftime meeting. And then they stepped it up and they went to another gear. And then I think the fourth quarter, you really saw the experience and you saw what it takes to win those high pressure games. All the Belgians doing their roles, moving the ball really quickly, waiting for the gaps to come, and then being pretty efficient if the chance is there. So yeah, I think Holland needs to learn that. We always said also we lost a lot of finals before we start winning. So you learn a lot from those games. So they will learn a lot from this last game against the semifinal against Belgium. So they will learn more, I think, now, even though it is painful. And you need to regroup after and start again. So that's part of a high performance sport, I think.
And do you think you can get one or two gears up against Germany when it counts?
Sorry?
Do you think Belgium can step up a gear higher or two, even if it's necessary now against Germany in the final?
I think so. I think they can, but I hope they would start from the beginning because, you don't, especially against Germany, it's also in their culture, their DNA, they defend really well. So they know also they have more experience in the squad than Holland. So they know also to kill a game and to get momentum and the flow out of a game, I think, better than the Dutch squad at this moment. So I think they would prefer not to, do all the work, the hard work again, and start from the beginning, and maybe even get some goals in front. Because I think if they get in front, they are also really experienced. They know exactly what to do at which time in the match and how to play to really play the game out and finish the game in an mature way. So I think they can, but I would hope they would start from the beginning now.
And Thomas, do you think that had a huge impact in the Alex Hendricks being out of the team, his injury? Do you think that as a key player, a player that made especially a big difference during the Olympics, how do you think that the Belgium team went with that?
Yeah, I think probably in the beginning you doubt a little bit. You think, it's like he gives a lot of confidence. I mean, it was like back in the day when I played with Mink van der Weerde, we playing at Orange Black. Even if we were down 2 goals, 3 goals, yeah, you just knew you need to get one corner and we're back in the game. Or if it's a draw, you know, at the end, just get a corner and Mink at his really peak. He scored every goal. This is a bit of the same with Alex as well. It gives you a lot of confidence as a team. Even if it's a draw at the end of the game, you get a corner. A lot of the times he just makes the corners on crucial moments. So I think it can give you a little bit of doubt as a team. But then again, you have a lot of different options as well of high quality. So I think they're pretty confident in the other guys as well. You have different options. You have also... different variations as well that they're training for a long time. So I think they were pretty probably a bit doubting in the beginning, but then going forward they have a lot of trust in the other guys. Tom showed it again. He can score on crucial moments as well, because you score in a semi-final, really important game. I don't think it was the best save of Pirmin, but still you need to score them as well against New Zealand. It's not the best save of the goalie, but you need to score them, and he gets it on target, and he gets it hard on target, and he scores. So I think that should give them enough confidence on the penalty corner for the final.
I also think that that it gives a lot of confidence to Tomme. If you see, if he gets the confidence to score and he starts scoring, then he keeps scoring. And yeah. I think that's an advantage that they had with Alex getting injured. Unfortunate for him, of course. But in the end, I think it's good that Tom Bong gets the confidence, because if he scores all those corners and he gets that in that scoring vibe, then he keeps going. So I think they don't problem with Alex missing out, I think.
And don't forget there are still two other threats with Loic and with Cousins. So you can prepare on one, but if there are two others on the top circle as well, it changed the game.
Yeah, sometimes it's really difficult. They would never seen Cousins the last years. He didn't get a lot of corners on international level, or didn't play a lot of international level, and he got a really he disguised his corner really well. So if you don't know it, you saw it in Holland as well. The first season in Holland with Amsterdam, he scored really a lot because nobody knew his corner. So it's a really difficult one to read. So that can be a surprise and a trick as well.
Yeah, and Belgium so far, if I'm not mistaken, they haven't played any variations, sir.
So that was going to ask you, Toby, what do you prefer? Or a super class drag flicker just to focus on him, or to have different chances that you don't really focus your face running on him? What do you prefer?
As a goalkeeper, I prefer to focus on the drag flicker. But I was talking about this last week with someone. What I don't understand is why teams are not showing different variations already in group stage. Mm-hmm. Because everybody knows or is preparing for the drag flick, We see it, the conversion rate of PCs has gone down because also the PC defense got better, the runners got better. They're really going full on the shot. Why are you not showing already variations in a group stage, in a crossover match, in a quarterfinal? Everybody says, yeah, we keep it for the big game. But if you get kicked out in a quarterfinal or a crossover, you're never going to show it. And you also let the team you play against, you let them start thinking, because then you don't have to worry just about the drag triggers, but you've seen maybe three or four different variations. So you start doubting. If you see the key players on their positions, then you're like, oh, okay, they played this in the last game. They played another variation in the game before. So it actually increases your chances to keep the defense doubting.
I think that the English did very well there. They had some couple of variations, and even Korea surprised me with a couple of variations as well. So there are a couple of teams doing it, but yeah, if your main drag flicker is that good, it becomes difficult to do something else, obviously. Yeah, but PCD has been a major factor also. So
Germany has three really good drag flickers with Beyat, Gramusch and Windfeder, but they also played already a 4-tip. And scored. So everybody is aware that this can happen, but there are still three guys or two guys on the top circle who are a big threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it's like if you do a variation, it's like you don't really have a lot of confidence on the drag flicker, no? And this is a mentality that maybe has to change, no? If you do a variation as a keeper, you are doubting always, no?
I think it needs to be communicated then with the drag flickers, like, okay, we do it, we have a lot of confidence, but we do it to give you a bit more space or to let the other team down. And if you communicate it in a right way, then yeah, it should be okay, because I know drag flickers want to take every ball.
Yeah, but at the end, you have to think about the greater good for your team, and you cannot just think about your drag flicker. If you... Then you say, okay, the first two are going to be variations. And if we score, we're 2-0 up. And then it's not about the confidence of the drag flicker, because when it counts and he's mentally strong enough, then he will also score his third chance. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
You can have your
opinion. You could also save the variations until the end, of course, to surprise them if they're running with two people to the head to block the push. Yeah, then you keep a lot of space for variation, so keep it until the end. That also could be a nice surprising factor, I think. I think a lot of teams also choose to let the pusher have a lot of balls to get the confidence and get in a good to score a lot of goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Korea did, I think, against Argentina, just the last corner.
Yeah, but therefore you also have to be lucky to get this last corner. Imagine you don't get it. So you save your variation for the big moment, but the big moment is not coming.
Yeah.
Well, would you then prefer to be rather 2-1 up with two scored variations, or do you want to wait and wait and wait and you maybe never get the chance?
Guys, let's talk a little bit about Australia. We haven't mentioned them a lot. Also, a phenomenal corner battery with Hayward and Govers. So how do you deal with the dual corner battery on top of the circle? Because they really use both of them. And hey, Toby, how do you prepare as a goalie for that?
Yeah, that's probably, from just this World Cup, the hardest to prepare for, because they have two threats who are scoring. Both of them scored goals on PCs. I think Hayward is one of the best drag flickers at this tournament. And his advantage is he can stay on first castle, he can drag flick it from there, or he can move really late to the second castle and has a really hard drag flick. So this is probably the shittiest to prepare for. What I would do, I would always run with two, because Australia is also not really, like, when your drag flicker is scoring, you're barely playing a variation, especially when you trust them and they have scored already quite a few goals.
Mm-hmm.
I would put them under as much pressure as possible.
Let's start talking about what are your predictions for the final? Who is going to win the final? Which team? But also, what tactics should we watch for? And especially, what player is the player to watch in both the medal games? So maybe, Sander, let's start with you. Also include the game from Holland versus Australia. Which player to watch? And who's going to win the World Cup, you think?
For Holland, Australia will go for Holland, of course. I think the player to watch who's really surprised me is Koen Dijen in the front of the event. I think he's really important for the team. He's really dangerous, scoring a lot, important in the press. So he surprised me a lot at the World Cup. And for the final, I think Belgium has the best squad. I hope they're going to win it. Like everybody knows, you never know with the Germans, how they've been playing, coming back, being important in the right moments of the game. I hope it's going to be a really close game to watch. One player from Germany that really was good for me, the right defender, his name, Toby Hinrichs?
Theo Hinrichs.
Yes. Yeah, I like him. He's been really attacking on the right side, really dynamic. It's nice to watch. He was a bit invisible in the semi-final. I think they didn't use him as much anymore. So I hope he's going to have a game again. But in the end, I think Belgium has the better squad. And they will.
Yeah. Nicky, what are your thoughts? Who's going to win? And who will be the players to watch, do you think?
Yeah, I think that always the winners, they live different moments in the tournament. And Belgium and Germany, both they had. But I think from as an outsider, not having any direct connection with any team, but I think that Germany, it's a bit more hungry for winning. And what I have seen in the last moments, the connection that they have, the way of they are playing until the last moment, and this mentality, for me, is you can really feel it, no? What they are trying to achieve. Of course, that Belgium is doing as well a really good tournament. They have a lot of experienced players, and they have to how to handle the situations and the momentum of the game. But from the outside, as I said before, I think that Germany wins. It will be nice to see, but it's going to be a really close game. And I'm not going to be a really surprising guy, but I think that Wellen also is doing a really good tournament. Every time that I played against him, it's really difficult to defend because he has a lot of 3D skills. He's really quick. He's really dangerous inside circle. And every single meter that you give to him, it's really dangerous. And of course, the penalty corner with the different variation, with Payet finally on shape. So we will see. Today, I think it's going to be really tight at something like 3-2 or for Germany. It's my bet for today.
Mm-hmm. I guess you agree, Toby, there. The Germans have a saying among themselves as well that if you beat them twice in a tournament, you will never, ever beat them twice in the same tournament. Okay, Belgium hasn't beaten Germany in the tournament yet. It's been a draw. But how do you think that will, the mental game between Germany and Belgium, how will that play out?
It's a game with a lot of history throughout the last, let's say, 10 years. And it's going to be very emotional, I think. Also, what we've seen in the group stage. I hope everybody keeps his nerves together and his behavior. But yes, I think Germany will win it. Same like Miki said, 3-2. Yeah, because I cannot explain it. It's a gut feeling. They're really hungry for it, and they have performed so well in the last two games where they have really been challenged. Like until the end, really challenged. Belgium didn't have this challenge yet. It probably will come today, but then it comes down how Payet is performing on corners or Grambusch or Windfeder, and definitely the player to watch is Wellen. He plays a terrific tournament. He's for me the best player of the tournament so far, and him in combination with Trompetz in the midfield, who's also playing extremely well. I think they will challenge the Belgium defense in a really, really good way.
Who will score the winner?
I think we haven't seen him yet on this tournament performing, but that's typically for him. I think Rühe is going to score the winner just before the end.
Thomas, do you agree?
Not really. I think, a bit biased probably, but I think Belgium will win. But also, I think it's really, for them, really good that they played Germany already in the pool phase. Because I think Germany played pretty good there. And they showed also some things where they were really dangerous. So they show some weaknesses in the Belgium press and how they became dangerous. And I know the Belgium staff always do a really, really good job in preparing the game tactically. So I think that's a big advantage that they've already played Germany. Belgium didn't lose from Germany for a very long time. And they like to play them. They like to play Germany because most of the time it's also a tactical game. And the last years they beat them in this way. And I think for Germany, they're really hungry and you see it, and they have a lot of energy. And I really like the way they're playing. But the last time you won from Belgium is I don't know how many years ago. You can doubt yourself as well, especially if it's a really one of the biggest games for some of the guys that never played a World Cup final. In the Belgium team, there are some guys who played Olympic final, World Cup final, European final. So I think in the end, that's going to make the difference, in my opinion.
Who will be the player to watch, do you think?
Of course. I think Wellen is playing really good for the Germans. I found Prince playing really good in the semi-final. He had some really nice actions. I think both goalies going to be important in crucial moments of the game. And for Belgium, I don't think there's really like one standout. I think Arthur de Slover is playing a really good tournament in the back. He's almost making no mistakes, intercepting a lot of balls. So I think he's going to have a really good tournament. And I hope, maybe another Nicolas de Kerpel crazy breakthrough action that nobody expected. And he makes the difference that would be nice to watch.
A lot of talk has been going on, Thomas, about also the generation switch in Belgium. And you are the most experienced, if not to say the oldest team. Do you think that something is going to change before Paris, following the World Cup, whatever the result today?
No, I don't really think so. I think they will keep training with the same squad and also with the same youngsters to give them more chances. I think for the next Pro League, you will see a lot of youngsters getting some opportunities. I don't see players quitting after the World Cup. Maybe if they wouldn't have performed or there's really a bad atmosphere or that some of the older players say, it's okay for me. But like I see it now, they still have a lot of fun together and they're playing a lot again a final of the World Cup, which is pretty impressive if you do it year after year. So I don't think guys will stop for before Paris now.
Mm-hmm. Sander, what's going to change in Holland for them to be on the podium in Paris?
What's going to change for them? I don't know, maybe a couple of new young guys who are going to enter. I don't know. The guy from Pinoquet, what is his name? It's a striker
Miles
who played really
Bertens.
good in the. Yes, maybe he will join. I don't know, but yeah, they have a really good spot at the moment, so I think they will just keep together. Yeah, maybe Maurice Visser will get a chance instead of Pirmin. I don't know. I think Maurice is playing very good in the competition, so maybe there a small change. I don't know. I also like how Pirmin is playing international games, so yeah, nothing really big, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mickey, what do you think needs to change, or what's going to happen with Spain for them to be a true medal contender in Paris?
Just a matter of time, a matter of giving and having more time together, training and playing games in Pro League. And, you know, the youngster, they have this energy that you can see. And I feel that Spain is looking for his own space and coming back to the podium positions. And with, you know, this tournament, I think it was like the first contest for many of them. And playing face-to-face to Australia, I think that was a really good sign for everybody. And during a lot period of the game, Spain really believed that we were gonna win. So I think it's it's a matter of experience. Of Thomas said many times, no, that you have to play many important games to win these games. And I think the for next 5-10 years, Spain will be there.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, Toby, that there will be some changes in the German team towards Paris, and is something needed to change to be there again in the final?
I don't think the whole squad will change. They will, I guess, keep on going with the same 25-20. It's 1.5 years till Olympics. I guess they're going to stay together. They have one really old guy with Zwicker, who is 35. But I also assume that he will stay in the team because he gives a lot to the team. And then the rest, yeah, they are almost, I think there are 2-3 guys 30 years old and the rest is younger. So they're going to stick together like they are. I don't see anyone stopping 1.5 years before Olympics. They all want to take their chance. And yeah, if they keep on riding on this wave where they're on at the moment, depending on how it ends today, even if they would become second, it's a huge success. So I see them performing at Olympics again.
Mm-hmm. Thomas, a final question for you. You know both coaches from Belgium, the previous one, Shane McLeod, and the current one, Michel van Heuvel, very well. You've had them. You've had Michel van Heuvel as a club coach as well. You've had them for several years as the assistant behind Shane. With the switch in roles between those two, do you see a different style of playing because of Michel, or do you think there will be changes coming ahead towards Paris because of Michel taking over from Shane?
Not sure. I think Michel was already 6 years assistant coach for the team. So yeah, he's been through the whole process. Shane and Michel talk a lot together. I think the players are really happy that Shane is also part of the squad and also in the team, because he brings another component, a really maybe a bit softer, easy, approachable. I think Mish can be sometimes a little bit harder in his communication, still he's he's one of the best coaches I ever had. He's a professional. He analyzes the game. He's really really autistic sometimes in the way he's busy with the game, and he's really professional. He's a winner. So I think he will have another approach, but I don't think a lot of things will change in the way they're playing. They try to play to the strengths of the individuals and build a team play around that. They're not gonna do crazy new things. I don't think so. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we give the final question, Sander. We give the final question, but we're going to ask them to each one, everyone. The final question comes from Jeroen, your brother, who was our guest on the previous panel talk as well. Very quickly, biggest surprise of the tournament and biggest disappointment of the tournament?
Oh, I think England was playing very, very good hockey. I never saw them playing so well, actually. Some very surprising good players. And also the way of defending, I liked it very yeah, it's a pity that it didn't reach the tournament further on. Biggest disappointment? Oh, difficult. Maybe Argentina. Mm-hmm. But
okay. Yeah. Same question for you, Toby.
Biggest surprise: Korea making it into the quarterfinals. Great performance. Biggest disappointment for me was France.
Okay.
They didn't live up to their expectations, I think. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thomas.
For me, I was disappointed in India. I saw them going really far, especially with the public behind them. And if you can't beat New Zealand, I think they would be really disappointed in themselves as well. Maybe couldn't really cope the pressure. I don't know, but I expected them to be higher, and I would have loved to see them play in a semi-final or final in their home. That would have been crazy and cool for hockey. And surprise, a couple of teams surprised me. I liked Korea as well, but I think still Germany, because the way I saw them play during the year and now is a really big difference. So that's for me the biggest surprise.
Mickey, same question from your old coach, Jeroen.
First of all, hi, Jeroen. Missing you here. And missing the miracle coach. What I think that for me was the biggest surprise, and of course I have to look to ourselves, and was to see the youngster of Spain playing at really good level for first time in a really big tournament. And for me, disappointment also, I would like to say India on one side, but France, I agree that also we all expect a bit more, and especially in the road that they have to France, to Paris 2024. So I think that these two teams, they have to do a step over. And but it's always difficult to say this from the outside. This is hockey actually nowadays, no? There are really small details that make the difference, and now I'm enjoying to seeing from the other side, and it's easy sometimes to speak, but when you're inside, it's sometimes you see it from another side. But it has been a pleasure to watch this World Cup.
Fully agree there. So guys, I'm gonna end it here, because we're just a couple of minutes away from the start, from the whistle in the first medal game, Holland versus Australia for the bronze medal. And next up, obviously the final we've been waiting for all the time. So let me just shout out a quick hi to my grandson Noah over there. thanks guys for all of the time and sharing the knowledge and sharing the insights here, and let's enjoy these medal games. Bye guys. Bye bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye.